All right, sweet. So tonight I promised you guys that tonight was going to be something. You remember what it was? Marriage. Yeah, marriage. But also, what else? Yeah, fun too. And it is. It's fun. What else? Yeah, the last one of our family plan series. So all these questions I ask you every single week, and you hate me for it. I'm done tonight. This will be the last one I ask you those same old questions, but I still get one more, right? So what's the name of our series? Family plan. Why is it the family plan? Friends and family. The Bible is about what? Relationships between us, God, and others, right? And so we talked about some of them. What are some of the relationship categories we looked at? Jesus. Yes, absolutely. Our relationship with God. The most important one, the foundation for all of them, right? The first one. What else after we talked about us and God? Our family. What are a few things about family we learned? Or we didn't learn, but honoring our parents. And what does honoring our parents mean? Showing them their value by the way we treat them, right? Okay, awesome. And obeying them, we talked about that. Taking care, yep, taking care and providing for your family, even at your age, it's still your responsibility, right? What else? After family, we looked at something else. Friends, what did we talk about friends? Find some good ones. That's definitely a key. What is a good friend? Somebody who pushes you to be more like Jesus and not people that are like, here, come sin with me, because that'd be horrible, because that's not what you want for your life, hopefully, right? So good influences, and what kind of friend do you want to be, or should you want to be? A godly one, yes, and a friend that pushes people to Christ, right? It works both ways. If you want friends like that, you should also be a friend who uses good peer pressure for people and pushes them toward Christ. And we talked about accountability a little bit and some good stuff like that. All right. Then, after we talked about friends, we talked about something else. Made you all blush and get little butterflies in your belly. Relationship, yeah. Dating. Dun-dun-dun. All right, we talked about dating, and part of the dating talk, we talked about what? Well, yeah, okay. I was going to go for purity to keep it G in here, but yes, thank you. We did. We talked about that and how that can honor God if it's done in the right context, in the right way, the way God designed it to be between a man and a woman and under the confines of marriage, right? Because God designed marriage. And so tonight, dun-da-dun, we reached the final of our series in the family plan. We're going to talk about marriage a little bit tonight. How many of you are married tonight? Raise your hand if you're married. And so we have a few adults. Any of you students married yet? Good. If you are, come talk to me later. We need to have a little counseling session. All right. So you're like, Rob, you're nuts. Why are we talking about marriage? We're not even married. You're only talking to like two couples in here, three couples in here. Why are we talking about marriage? Because hopefully, not just hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, but most likely, a lot of you are going toward marriage. Now, God has designed that it's okay, too, for some of you that God's called you to be single, to live it out. Be single, live for Christ, because that's God's calling your life. There's no shame in that. If God's called you and given you that gift of singleness, it's okay. It's not something you have to walk around and hold your head down and be embarrassed about. God has called you to be single, and it's an awesome gift for some people. Paul said, hey, I'm single. God's using me in this singleness to reach people for the gospel. I couldn't if I was married. And so that's not a bad thing either. But most likely, the majority of you in this room are going to be married. Why do you think we're kind of wired toward the whole marriage making baby thing? Any ideas? Scripturally? Yeah. God made us that way. Where do we see that in Scripture, that God made us to make babies? Adam and Eve. Take me all the way back to the garden, right? Back in Genesis, we see that God comes down and he makes Adam, he makes Eve, and it's good for them to be an Adam and an Eve, right? And then he says, Adam and an Eve. Oh, that's really weird. Anyway, Adam and Eve. And so he takes them and he gives them the first command. What was the first thing they're told to do? Yeah, the first one wasn't like, hey, don't lie. No lying or stealing, that's my first command. The first command was, hey, go make babies. What? Like, I made you this gorgeous, awesome earth, and I put some awesome stuff on it for you to eat and enjoy and just take pleasure in this whole thing, and you get to rule it. You get to be my manager, my gardener here on this planet, and take care of this earth. Have dominion over it. The animals, the whole deal, it's yours. That's pretty awesome. We get free reign. And he says, on top of that, I don't want it just to be you two. I want you to just populate this whole thing so there's tons of people enjoying it, because as you people enjoy it that I've created, guess what you're doing? You're glorifying me. What? You're glorifying me and having fun enjoying the things I made for your pleasure. It's bringing me glory. So I want a bunch of you down there doing that and bringing me lots of glory. So he takes us and he puts this thing inside of us. It's a desire to make babies. And it's okay. It's good. It's healthy. God gave that to you. So sometimes when we talk about sex and purity and relationships, we have this stigma that's put across, like, sex, oh, we can't say the word, you know, like, because so often we've heard it in a context where it's used disgusting and dirty and perverted from the plan of God. And so in those senses, we're like, whoa, let's just step back from that, because that, like, ooh, we don't need to talk about that in front of mom and dad. Like, I'll blush. If you say that word when mom and dad are in the room, I can't take it, because it's always used bad. But God's looking down going, I didn't design it bad. Like, it wasn't this thing you had to be like, oh, he said the S word. Oh, my goodness. You know, like, it's this thing where I put it in you. And it was the first command for you to do. So you're going to have a strong desire to reproduce. And so as we talk in this room today, those of us who are sitting here have that same thing put in us. And so when we talk about marriage, there's a very great chance that a lot of us in this room will end up married one day. So you might not be married now, but you're probably on your way there. So we need to stop for a minute at the end of this talk about relationships and see, how are you going to go about getting married? We talked about the culture a few weeks ago, how the media is slapping you with all sorts of stuff and information, telling you how relationships work, probably telling you how to get married. And most of the people who are putting that stuff out there have been like married 6 or 7 times, so they're probably experts at doing it wrong. So they could probably tell you a few things, but don't listen when they tell you how to do it, because they got no clue. If you want to end up like them, walk down the same road they're walking, and you'll end up just like them. Now, there are probably many of us in this room whose our lives have been touched by divorce and broken families and broken relationships. So don't think I'm standing up. Please don't take me wrong as I sit up here and say that divorce is wrong and think I'm offending you. I've experienced that in my own family, all right? But what I am saying is it is wrong. I don't say it to be offensive, but it is sin. God didn't design marriage to be a throwaway. Hey, let's get married and see if it works. A couple years later, if it doesn't work, it's okay. Let's just toss it out. No big deal. That was never the intent of God. Marriage is this amazing thing, which is kind of the goal, right, of all these relationships we've been working through. And so as it's the goal, let's make sure we know what that goal really is. So we don't go about marriage looking for the wrong thing altogether. And we get into something and be like, wait a minute, this isn't at all what I thought this was going to be. All right? So open up with me real quick. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. If you've ever heard me do a wedding, you've heard this passage because I always preach from this at weddings. If you ask me to do your wedding one day, it's going to be Ephesians chapter 5. You already know for the little pamphlet for your wedding, put it in there because that's what I'm going to talk on. Matt, I spoke on this at your wedding, remember? So Matt already knows this. He can come up and preach it. He lives it out with his wife every day. Good for you, Matt. Proud of you, buddy. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 is where we're going to start tonight. And let's see what God has to say about marriage. Wives, starts off talking to the ladies. How many ladies are in the house? Ladies, raise your hand. There's some ladies in here. All right, he's talking to you, so listen. Talking to you, future wives. Here we go. Wives, guys, don't tune out because you need this. It's inside information. You can use it later. submit to your own husbands. Don't get ahead of yourselves, guys. We'll come back to that, all right? Now, some of you got knuckleheads who are already thinking the wrong things. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives, you hearing, should submit in everything to their husbands. Then he switches tones. Look at this. Husbands, dudes, listen up. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. It's a long phrase for what's expected of you. So we'll come back to that. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. All right, so go back up to the wives part in verse 22, and let's talk to the ladies for a second. Okay, notice one thing. Ladies, you only got like two or three sentences. Guys, you got like a paragraph. It's because you're smarter than us. You get it in two or three sentences. It takes us an entire paragraph to actually understand what we're being told. So we should be pretty quick with you here. All he says here is this. Submit to your own husbands. Now right away, guys, you're like, yep, that means go make me a sandwich. Right? That's what guys are saying. You're wrong. That's not it at all. He's not saying it. Get it out of your head. That's not what he's trying to say. Look at how he qualifies that phrase. Submit to your own husbands, how? Ladies, how are you supposed to love the Lord? Remember, we talked the very, very first lesson of this entire series was on your relationship with God. There was a reason for that. It all builds on that. And as you approach marriage, as you approach dating right now, as you're in dating, the goal of dating should not be, hey, let's just hang out and get to know each other and whatever. Dating is, let's do this the right way in a way that glorifies God, because the end game here is that my heart might fall for you and your heart might fall for me, and then uh-oh. So let's approach this thinking marriage is the end game of dating. And so as I date you, that's in my heart and in my mind, and I want to do it in a way that glorifies God as I date, because the goal could be marriage, should be marriage. Now, to submit to your husband is to the Lord. Does that mean you're supposed to like look at your husband like you're God and worship him and bow at his feet when he comes out and for breakfast in the morning and hand him his bacon and his dead animal? Like, is that what you're supposed to do? Is that this picture? What does it mean as to the Lord? How do you love your husband the way you love the Lord? Does it require something of the husband for this to happen? How does your husband need to be? So as you're dating, one of your choices of the dude that might be your suitor. I always want to use that word, suitor. Anyway, sorry. Your future husband. What might be a requirement on your list for him? He loves Jesus. This dude shows you Jesus in the way he treats you, in the way he treats other people, so that when you look at him and interact with him, you can love him as you love the Lord, because you know something about him. He's going to Christ before he makes decisions in your relationship. And so when you look at him, you know you're looking at the image of Jesus on him. Because he's going to Jesus and following Jesus. So guess what? In a second, he says, so submit to your husband. You're able to respect and obey and follow your husband because he's following Jesus. So as you follow him, all he's doing is leading you closer to God. And you can trust this man to know he's just going to keep walking you closer and closer to the Lord. So don't marry somebody that's not going to follow the Lord. Don't put your heart together with somebody who's not going to lead you in the right path, who you're going to have to second guess and be like, are you saying this because you want it, or are you saying this because God wants it? Look for someone that you know loves Christ. And guys, the girls are hearing it. So be someone who loves Christ if you want a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, it's more than that, but still, you get the point. All right. Hold on. I'm using my phone tonight, which is weird for me, because I never use my phone for the Bible, but. Okay. So, submit to your own husbands, because you can trust him, and you know he's leading you to Jesus. And look why. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body. It is himself the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. He's saying something about us and God. What's he saying here when he says the church and God, and then he's talking about like a husband and wife? Like, that seems kind of like a weird picture there for him to mix up the two. Like, why is there a comparison? Any ideas? What's he doing? Let me help you out. He's saying that as you engage in a marriage covenant, you're painting a picture to the entire world as they look on of something much bigger than, oh, mommy loves daddy and they smooch and they make babies. Like, that's not the whole deal of marriage, okay? What you're showing the world is that I love my wife so much that as I love her, people see me represent Jesus' love for his own people. And now this picture of a husband and wife coming together in a covenant relationship, becoming one, is showing the world how Jesus gave everything for his church, for us, sinners that don't deserve it. And he loves us in a way where he sacrifices for us, he protects us, he provides for us, he's faithful to us. All of these amazing qualities of our Savior for us. And as they look at your marriage, as they watch the way Matt treats his wife, they're seeing how Jesus treats us. And as they see how Jess responds, and that's a part here of submission, she submits to that love that's being given to her, she's responding because he deserves it. Because he comes to her and he loves her and he's loyal and he protects her and he gives her this. And that's what Jesus did for us. And the wife is showing us how to respond to the love of Christ by submitting, respecting, following, obeying, supporting, lifting up. And we can then do that for our Savior Jesus because we've seen it. And hopefully, and I know this isn't true for everybody, but hopefully there's some of you out there who can understand because you've seen mom and dad love Jesus and love each other well, and you've grown up watching that picture right in front of your eyes. And those of us who haven't grown up seeing that, you get to change that. You get to be the one who engages in that covenant and shows your children in the future the love of Christ by the way you love each other. So marriage isn't just two people hooking up. Marriage is preaching the gospel by the way you love someone unconditionally to the point of giving your life for them. You're preaching the gospel through your marriage. This is a big thing. Now, as you go out and date, you're probably not thinking, how am I going to preach the gospel through the way I marry this person? But we should be. We should be. You see, that's the goal of what we're engaging in. That's the goal of these relationships. Now, girls, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Most knucklehead guys aren't thinking that. They're sitting around and they have a whole lot of other things on their list of what they want to accomplish in dating you, and it's not how am I going to preach the gospel through this relationship. So let's look at guys for a second. What does Paul tell us here when he says husbands? He changes over. Verse 25. Dudes, husbands, love your wives. All right, I'm going to let you in on something. Don't marry someone you don't love. Okay? It stinks. Don't do it. You don't want to marry someone you don't love. It's not going to last very long. Hopefully you understand that concept. Otherwise, we need to go back, start this whole series back over and just take another stab at it, okay? Love your wives. But he doesn't stop with that. We got like six phrases that help describe how we're supposed to love them. Are you ready? This is your big long paragraph for being a knucklehead just like me. All right, here we go. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. If it's true that this picture you're painting of marriage is showing the world, speaking the gospel to the world by your relationship, then guess what? The way you love your wife better demonstrate the way Jesus loves his church. How much does Jesus love you? By now, hopefully you've heard that in this place. It's pretty big. How much has Jesus given for you? That's pretty big. Look what it says next. And gave himself up for her. Jesus was literally willing to be nailed to a cross, to give up his life, to sacrifice an unimaginable sacrifice for us. And he's saying, hey, dude, as you love that woman and you stand before me and I look down and we're standing here together at the altar, I'm with the two of you and we're making this covenant. And you look at her and you look at me and say, oh, I want to marry you. I want to be with you forever. And you say, I do. Guess what? You better be willing to love her the way I love you. You better be willing to forgive her the way I forgive you. You better be willing to lay down your life for this woman. And dudes, if you're not willing to die for the woman you're about to marry, you have no right getting married. Get away. Jesus looks down and says, love her the way I love you to the point of being willing to sacrifice everything for her. And I'm not just talking about like throwing yourself in front of a car for her in the way you live. And saying, I'm willing to give up my preferences and my opinions and my wants and my desires and my petty things. I'm pushing all this stuff aside because this is no longer my life. This is our life. It's not just me over here and you over here. We do our own thing. Cool. And I get what I want. You get what you want. It's, I will not just be willing to die for you, I'll lay everything down because you're worth it. Sometimes we get this picture of marriage in our head. It's so messed up. And girls, I can't speak for you because I can't see in your heads. But I know you know what I'm talking about. We get this picture where it's like, what's this going to do for me? Marriage is going to be so cool because I'm going to wake up and she's already going to have my breakfast ready and my big cup of coffee. And I'm going to walk out, but she's going to put my slippers on after she massages my feet. And then she's going to, and like, we get this list of how sweet it's going to be. Like, marriage, yes, you know? But really what Jesus says is, are you willing to be a servant? Because let me in, let me let you in on something else. When Jesus came to earth, did he come going, hey, everybody, serve me. Come on, get over here, come serve me. That wasn't what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, Philippians tells us that Jesus came in the form of a servant. He came to serve. So guys, you see, oh, well, the first phrase says she's supposed to submit to me. Well, you're supposed to love her the way Jesus did, and he was the greatest servant we've ever seen. And he served to the point where he gave his own life. Are you willing to do that? Well, hey, are you willing to do that? Now, maybe not right now, hopefully, because you're not like at the point of getting married, but will you be willing to do that? Is that how you're viewing marriage? I want to serve you. I want this woman to be the person that I serve and love and respect. And look at all these other things he says next. That he might sanctify her. Let's check out. Does anyone know what sanctify means except for Manny and Matt? You guys aren't allowed to answer, Jordan, except for a lot of you leaders. Anybody else? Any students know? Sanctify. Think about it for a second. Yep, go ahead. Ooh, wow, perfect. To make holy. A lot of you guys, I heard like little whispers of it everywhere. You guys are so smart. To make holy. Now look what it says, because that might sound like, well, how do I make something holy? I don't know. Am I making donuts? Which, by the way, no, I can't tell you. Anyway, it's a secret. Okay. you know what I'm talking about. Sorry, y'all. I'll let you in. I just like donuts. Verse 26. That he might sanctify her. Listen, this is what sanctify is. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So, Jesus' goal with the church is to cleanse us, to present us holy, to make us closer and closer to the image of God. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in us so we become more like Jesus. And hopefully, we've talked about this in our series too, hopefully you have a relationship with God that's happening. You're getting in the Word. Some of y'all, are about 20-something of y'all, came up and said, hey, listen, I want to get serious with the Word. That was some 8 weeks ago. I hope you're still doing it. I hope you haven't forgotten 8 weeks ago when you raised your hand and said, I want to be that person that's serious about getting in the Word. Get in the Word. If you stopped, kick each other's butts and get yourselves back in the Word. Get an accountability partner. Grow in Christ. Now, the goal then, if that's what God wants for us and Jesus is doing to his church, you're painting the picture of that in marriage. What's your goal dating? Guys, as you get involved in a relationship with a girl, what's your goal? I can't wait to like hold her hand, and I can't wait to smooch her, and oh, I can't wait to make out, and I can't wait to. I want to. And you have all these pre-kind of conceived ideas in your head of what you get to do when you date, and it's exciting. But how many of those things on your list, first of all, aren't just selfish I want to's? Because that's not what Christ did. He came to serve. And how many of those things on the list will actually help her become more holy and cleansed and be able to be presented before God without blemish, without spot? You see, because that's the goal of Christ with the church, and that should be your goal in dating and in marriage. Where are your goals bringing you with her? Are they going to help you stand one day in front of the altar and say, look, I'm presenting this woman before you holy. Like I helped pour into her because I love her so much, so she grew closer to Christ. Or are your goals physical and you just wanted what you could get from her? Girls, guys do that. Wake up now. Accept it and know it. And be really mean to guys, okay? All right, maybe that was over the top, but I'm going to start with that, okay? Guys, stop being jerks. Stop going around looking for what you want physically with girls and start saying, I want to find out how I can push you closer to Christ. Remember we talked about friendships and how that's what we should be doing with our friends? She's your friend. She's not your wife. You should be treating her as a sister, and girls, you should be treating guys like a brother until the day you make that covenant. You're friends. You're in that ring until you're married. Your goal should be, how can, if I don't end up marrying this woman, I can let her stand in front of the altar and not be embarrassed as she marries another dude? How many of you guys want to get to an altar and be like, some other dude did all these things and took those things from me because he did that with her when they were dating and they didn't get married. I'm marrying her now. So you're stealing what's not yours. She's not yours. And girls, you're not his until you guys get married. God says, then you become one flesh. You belong to one another. But before that, you're friends. You're not married. You're not each other's. That's how you should be treating each other and living in relationship with one another. It doesn't mean you can't develop emotions for one another. It doesn't mean you can't explore that path and see if that's what God has for you. I'm not going to tell you exactly what that list looks like, but I do want you to ask God and say, how can I treat the person I'm dating in a way that resembles how Christ presents the church to God? Holy, spotless, without blemish, blameless. Because a lot of times as we enter dating relationships, that's not the goal. That doesn't go through our minds. It's, ooh, it'd feel really good to do this with her. That's the goal. Girls, if that's the type of dude you want to date, you're in for a long haul of a life. You don't need it. He doesn't need to validate you. Jesus Christ has already made you absolutely priceless. You don't need him to do that. You wait out for the guy who's going to come and respect you and love you and push you closer to Jesus and be able to present you blameless before God. All right, so moving on a little bit here, because I know this heavy stuff says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. We just talked about that. Verse 26. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. How many of you guys, like, just, you hate to eat when you're hungry? You're like, I hate it. I just want to make myself so hungry. What? Have you lost it, Rob? That's dumb. We like to eat because we're hungry. We nourish ourselves. We give ourselves food. We don't go, no, I love being hungry. It hurts so good. You know, like, that doesn't make sense. And what he's saying here is it's just absolutely stupid to think that. So why then, if you've become one flesh with this person, why would you want to hurt them? Why would you not protect them? Why would you not care for them? Why would you not lay down everything for them the way he just described? It only makes logical sense because the same way that Jesus has become one with you, you've become part of his body. We've talked about this. The Holy Spirit is abiding in you in the most intimate way you could ever be in contact with another being. He's abiding in your soul. And the most intimate human relationship we have is between husband and wife. That's the picture of the Holy Spirit in us. Becoming one with God. Why would you want to hurt your own self? Why would you want to hurt this other person? You see, divorce should never be an option because there's nothing to break apart. You're one. Once you've gone before God and made the seal, there are not two anymore. That's disappeared. You have become one. There's nothing to break up. And so let's show in these relationships, let's show the world how much God loves us. This eternal love that says it's unconditional. I will never let go. I will never stop loving you. I will forgive. I will be patient. There's no end to this thing. Because that's how Jesus loves us. I'm not going to go to the world and say, yeah, she ticked me off so much, I had to just get rid of her. And, you know, when we tick Jesus off enough, he's going to get rid of us. What a horrible picture. Now, he says a little more, so stay tuned in. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives in their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Oh, so if I love my wife, then I love myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am prideful. What is that saying there? How does that come off to you? He who loves his wife loves himself. What do you think that means? Give me an idea. Come on, speak up. Any thoughts? Yeah. It has to be because you're one. It's like, duh. Let me make this a little clearer to you. There's no way to do this another way. Like, you have to love one another because you are the same. You are that united and that intimate that there is no breaking that apart. Look at verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So as you look at marriage, you are seeing the gospel lived out in front of you. And as you get married, you are living the gospel out in that relationship to the rest of the world. Now, he says this next piece. Therefore, he's going to sum it up for us. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He's like, I know this is crazy. Verse 32. This mystery is profound. I know it's hard to understand this. It's a mystery. And I'm saying that it refers, he's going to explain it, to Christ and the church. He's like, it sounds like this crazy mystery, but it's a picture. It's a picture between Jesus and us. Verse 33, however, let me give you two practical pieces of advice as he leaves this. Let each one of you love his wife as himself. Give everything for her. And some of us have a hard time understanding that because we don't understand the extent to which Jesus actually gave up for us. We don't understand just how far Christ went for us. We haven't grasped the love of God yet to even respond to that. And so the first step is go back to the beginning. Get back to that relationship with God and say, before I ever even start dating, I need to have this relationship with you. I need to grasp how much you love me. So when I interact with your daughter, I'll treat her the way you want her to be treated. I'll have the right goals in my head. I'll know the picture I'm supposed to be painting as I date her, as I marry her, as I live the rest of my life with her and raise a family with her. Because I started on the right foundation. And then it says to wives, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, hopefully you're marrying a guy who's going to be a leader in your family. Guys, you're called to be the leader, not her. Don't make her be. But as you look at him, marry somebody who says, I'm going to lead you to Jesus. Let's go. That's where you want to be. If your end game is this dude, then one day he's going to break your heart and you're going to be left just crushed. But if he's walking you to the real goal, who is Jesus Christ, watch out. You want a guy who says, hey, let's go to Jesus. Let's go. Let him grab your hand and you submit and follow and obey because he's taking you to Christ. All right? So as we close tonight, you guys just close your eyes for a second. We've done a lot of talking about relationships. And we haven't spent much time to ask you, how's it going? There could be some really, really broken hearts in this room tonight. And it might be some jerk dude who totally broke your heart and it's wrecked you. Might be some girl who's just crushed your heart. Might be mom or dad or some family situation. Man, I don't know. I can't see into your lives, but I do know that God loves you. And we're talking about relationships for a reason. And there are some leaders in this room that love the heck out of you guys and would love to sit down and just talk and hear that and wrap their arms around you and say, look, it's going to be okay. Let's pray together. Let's go to God on this. And so tonight, I kind of wanted to end this series by just giving you an opportunity to sit with your leader. Be honest. If you need help with relationships, admit it. We've got some awesome groups going on right now dealing with different topics. If you're struggling with pornography or lust, if you're struggling with a just unhealthy relationship, there's some awesome leaders and groups that are here to support you in that. Just let us know so we can plug you in because those are real issues. So if you take a second, I'm going to close my mouth for a second and just give you a few minutes to just talk to God. Some of you guys might need the most important relationship, and that's the one you have with Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I want to talk to you. Maybe you've come every single week for your entire life since you were 3 years old to this place, and you're still going, I still don't know Jesus. It's okay, don't be embarrassed. I want to talk to you. If you're here tonight, you're like, look, Rob, I don't have a relationship with Christ. I need to start this thing off right. Will you pop your hand for me real quick and just say, look, that's me. Will you just pray for me quietly? I need to know Jesus. And don't leave tonight without talking to me afterwards and one of your fire station leaders. If that's you, that's the most important decision you will ever make. And if you got some stuff going on in your relationships, I know that could be a weird thing to like make decisions like that or get help in front of groups of people. I know that's hard. So we don't need to make a big deal out of it. We can quietly just sit somewhere and talk with you. And if you want to slip in the back later and just grab a leader by the hand and be like, hey, listen, will you talk to me? Please feel the comfort to be able to do that. We love you and we want to have that conversation with you and help you. And some of y'all right now just need to talk to God and be like, I got some messed up friendships and some messed up relationships. God, I need you to help me get this thing right. Will you just ask him that right now? Ask him to help you get back in the Word. Ask him to help you make those hard choices with friends that you need to make or have those hard conversations. And if the way you date and your view of marriage isn't a healthy one and doesn't line up with what we just studied in God's Word, will you ask him to give you the courage to make that right? To honor him in the way you treat other people? I'm just going to close this in prayer and then you guys can just make your way up. The band has another song, so just feel free to worship or go find a leader or do whatever it is God's calling you to do tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you because you're good to us. Because everywhere we look, you're painting the picture of the gospel everywhere. In our relationships, in your word, in nature, God, everywhere we look, we're seeing Christ because we're that slow. We need it. And it means that much to you that we know it. Thank you that Jesus died for us. God, thank you that you love us enough to send your only son to teach us how relationships should look between us and you, between us and other people. And I beg you, God, that your Holy Spirit would empower us to live that out in a way that glorifies you. God, I love these kids. I beg you, Father, that they now, at this age, begin to follow hard after you in those relationships. That you make them champions that live hard for your gospel. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.